You're listening to Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 27, our hosts Mitch Glenn and Brad Wigman interview the fishing guides at Tandem Fly Outfitters on Lake Stockton, Missouri. The guides Chris Nelson, Mark Diaz, and Damon Spurgeon, with years of experience on the water, specialize on putting clients on game fish while supplying everything with a big comfortable boat, tackle and bait, and to catch that fish of a lifetime. Tackle Time features Pico Lures, Pointer Shad. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wigman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. I'm your host, Brad Wigman, along with my co-host, Mitch Glenn.
Hey, Brad, man. Good to see you off the water. We're still up here at Tandem Fly Outfitters, and Chris is still here with us, and a couple of his guides have come back in to talk with us. Right here beside me sits Mark. Mark, you're one of the guides here at this place. How'd you get hooked up here?
It's a pretty long and boring story, but basically I've been a fishing guide for over a decade now, and I recently went through a little transition out of one career in the fishing industry, and was looking for what was next. And
right.
I've known Chris for 4 or 5 years now, and
he was in a
position where he was looking for a fishing guide, and I was looking for a job.
that always helps.
This happens to be one of the only ones I'm qualified for, so it just worked out the way it was supposed to, and I guess when it was supposed to.
So, Chris, tell us, Mark is one of your guides, and also Damien, who we'll have on here in just a little bit, but... Tell us.
Damien sounds like an evil name.
Yes.
Damon.
Sounds like a fish catching
machine. Oh, I'm evil, though.
It sounds like somebody that's a fish catching machine to me.
Yeah.
Tell us how you came about picking these guides. What were you looking for in a guide?
People that had the passion, the drive and the passion that just completely ate up with fishing. And that's what it takes to be a good guide. People that are willing to put time in on the water, just obsessed with chasing fish and catching fish and figuring out why they're not biting and what we can do to make them bite. And it's really hard to find people that have their credentials to guide on top of people that are willing to invest their own time in being on the water. And you really have to find somebody that fishes and has the passion and is completely ate up with it to the point where it drives them crazy if they have a bad day on the water, so they're going to want to go figure out the next day what to do.
Right. So you want that guy that's, it's not just a job to him on his day off from guiding. He goes fishing.
100%.
Yep.
That's what it takes to have good guides. You can train people to do it, but if they don't have the passion and the drive and they're not true hardcore fishermen, you're not going to have what you're looking for.
Right.
And so
what we hold ourselves to the standard of.
And so you have these two guides. So if you have a larger party yet, what's your reach? How many guides could you possibly bring in?
You know, we like to keep it to no more than 12 up in the lodge. That's what's comfortable. But we have done groups as large as 30 on the corporate side of things where we get some other local guides to come in and help out. Okay. So we can make arrangements to do something like that. But as far as a package where everybody was staying here to get that family atmosphere where we're all eating together, getting good camaraderie, and you know, that 12 and under is really good.
Yeah, and these are the super. We're sitting here with the superstars of the Lake Stockton guides.
Yeah,
you know?
These are the guys we're going with right here.
Yeah. I'm not going to say we caught fish because we were with a good guy, but I'm going to say we caught fish because we were with a good guy.
Yeah, I'm sitting here at this table, and I'm right now like, oh, man, I smell like fish.
So why did you become a guide?
I'm from Idaho originally, and I was both my parents are real highly educated. They're real smart people,
right?
And I went to college because that's what you're supposed to do,
right?
And I got in the third semester. I hadn't declared a major, and I spent most of the time that I should have been spending studying fishing, and my advisor said, hey, you need to settle down and figure out what you're going to do. And so I quit school and went and got a job on a boat.
Yeah. Sound like you already knew what you was going to do. They just didn't have a course in college for that, did they?
Right. Yeah. The rest has been history. It's been, man, 14 years ago. And
is that right?
Yes,
wow.
Sir.
Yeah. Well, so what are some of your experiences? I mean, you've been doing it 14 years. You've kind of worked your way up through this.
Sure. Yeah.
There's been good and bad.
Yeah. mostly good.
I
worked on a boat in Idaho for 4 or 5 winters. That was my winter job. We started guiding steelhead trips in Hell's Canyon in September, and I'd run that through March. And then I got into the tournament bass fishing. That bug bit me.
Yeah.
And so.
Ouch.
I'd pretty much burn all my money from
from
March till May, and so I needed summer money. So that turned into a job in Sitka, Alaska, and so I started as a deckhand up there and kind of earned a captain's position, and then did that until really just till last year. So that was where I spent my summers. But in 2012, we moved to Missouri. My wife went to Missouri State, so we moved here.
Yeah.
And we never left. Just this is where I spent, you know, I'd come home in September and I'd leave in May, but the whole time in between, this is where we lived and this is where I fished.
Right.
So this is where I spent my time fishing recreationally, and just fell in love with it. And
man,
you
sure picked a pretty part of the state to set up shop.
We sure did. Yeah, we feel very blessed. And the fact that I could... When I was fishing for me, this is exactly what I was doing. And so for there to be a job opportunity there has just been, it's been a good fit. And we feel real fortunate to
Perfect.
Have found Tandem Fly for that.
What do you think your skill set, what do you think your strongest skill set is? Is it fly fishing? Is it spinning rods? Is it bait casting? Are you a power fishing guru or?
My secret to guiding success has actually been I'm a jack of all trades as far as I'm good enough to be dangerous on all levels. There are guys that are probably better anglers than I am. So dealing with people, I'd say it would be my strongest suit.
Adaptability.
And that's a big part of our job is making sure that when you get new people on the boat, you can see what their strengths or weaknesses may or may not be, what are they actually interested in, and we're just going to tailor the trip to that. And so I can fish. I have done a little bit of everything and a lot of some things, but I can provide the kind of experience that people are looking for generally, or at least I can tell what kind of experience they're looking for and kind of roll with that.
Yep.
Design it on the fly.
I call it becoming a chameleon.
That's right.
Key to being a good guide.
Right.
You
it don't matter what you know how to do. You need to know what they know how to do and be able to adapt it to that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So Damon is going to be on here next. He has been a guide for a while here, and we'll let him get the headset on and make sure he can hear us. Can you hear us?
Good to go.
There we go. So,
Damien.
Yeah.
Hey, devil.
Obviously, devil. You knew when I grew up what movie I watched that influenced the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Little kids that were possessed.
Yeah. if you can't catch fish, he will set you on fire.
Don't miss him.
So how long have you been guiding for Chris here?
Gosh, probably what, Chris, call it 12 months, probably?
Yeah, give or take, yeah.
Give or take. Yeah. And the situation, I mean, kind of an intricate one. I've got a full-time job in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
So I'm 4 days a week there, and then off time and blocks here and there, I'm able to come down and work for Chris and be here at camp, and it's a phenomenal opportunity. You know, it's got to work your butt off to get to where you want to be at the end, you know, so that's kind of where I'm at right now, you know.
Yeah, so I went fishing with you this morning. I know one of your strengths is fly fishing,
mm-hmm.
So but it's also your passion,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. I grew up in St. James, Missouri, which is, an hour and 20 minutes. My wife's driving about 45 minutes from St. Louis. But, you know, it's a great environment as far as, like, a Spring Creek atmosphere. It's you know, beautiful scenery, and there's a lot of trout. Not necessarily stream bred. There's a few smaller stream bed streams. But, you know, I started taking people, 15, 16 years old. And never really took money for it, but it was just like, hey, could you show this, show that? And once I started doing that, you know, like Mark had mentioned, you know, that the bug bit me. So it's like, all right. And, you know, once I got married, had little ones and running around, my wife kind of looked at me like, why are you, you're fishing all the time, you know, why don't you take people? So gradually it morphed into, I opened a fly fishing company or a guide company, outfitter, and here we are. That's been 4 years ago, I think, officially on the books with a business. But, you know, working here with Chris, it opens so many doors as far as species and opportunities and things like that. It's been awesome, awesome.
Is there, like, one fish, like, one species you would like to catch? If you had a guide every day, would it be, like, the magical drum that I was able to catch today, or would it be one of those sexy fish, a smallmouth, largemouth?
Really depends. The way it's going now, I want to catch certain fish so I could punch them right in the face. Is kind of how it is, you know.
one of those days.
You know, we caught gobs of fish today, but yep. We were in the middle school lunch line. Yeah. You know, we're trying to get to high school. And
you felt bad enough you wanted to feed them.
Yeah,
we had
the 19 and a half inchers. So that was it Matthew McConaughey off what's that movie? They all stay the same age. That kind of deal.
Oh, yeah.
He slipped in there.
I'm confused.
But no, that overall, believe it or not, the fish that I prefer over anything is a crappie. And I think it's, you know, growing up in rural Missouri, it's like, regardless of what farm pond you were on, any of that, you caught a crappie, that it goes on the stringer.
That's America's panfish, man.
You are bringing that home, and we're going to eat it. So it still just kind of gives you goosebumps every time you catch a crappie, or being able to pick Chris's brain and Mark's brain, and once you can consistently go to any body of water anywhere in the country, and you can start catching those and bringing them home, it's sense of satisfaction for me. But
you're not going to cause Bill Gates any problems, but you're not going to go hungry either.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Right.
So, Chris, you have these resources. Tell us a little bit on the water. We actually visited with about this, having two guys that are really good anglers and really good guides, and you're getting feedback constantly, even when you're on the water. These guys are out fishing, and you kind of know how they fish. How's that working out?
as far as, I mean,
using it to so your customers can catch more fish, getting that intel.
It just strengthens us every day with having three boats on the water. Fish are always changing. You always got different things going on. Either they're running water, they're not running water. There's a shad hatch. There's a better part of the lake. There's a better species to target. With having three boats out on the water any given day, or just even if two of us are running and we can communicate back and forth and one of us can say, oh, the walleye are on right now. Get over here and let's get on the walleye. Or the crappie bites on fire, and you get to spread out. You're basically getting intel from three people.
This is such a multi-species.
You got three fish heads out there on the water thinking about what's going on. Yeah. What are we gonna do? Our next day is always going to be better than our last day unless a fish just decide they don't want to eat. And there's times that you can't force feed them. Right. But with having Terry Blankenship up here helping us out, Mark on the water, Damon on the water, and me on the water, and you being out with Terry, I mean, you could tell real quick we had a shad spawning.
45 days ago,
you bet. Just puking shad up everywhere.
We caught bluegill today that were puking up shad. A little bitty half inch. Just full. I sent y'all the picture. He caught a bass today that was 6 inches long and 3 inches wide. It's full of them little bitty shad.
That's a football.
Yeah.
Tell us about the boats that the guides are using.
We've got two 24-foot center consoles, and then we've got a Ranger FS620 Deep V that we run, and then Damon has his 18-foot Express. It's a great little chase boat for looking for white bass and calm days for people that want to see live scope, going out and live scoping crappie. But as far as boats go, bigger the better for us, because a lot of times the groups are there's three, four people in a group, and the sea arcs are laid out where you can fish four people with a guide comfortably, walk around. You can fish five people comfortably, especially fishing over brush piles for crappie or suspended crappie in the winter. They're the best boats. The walleye boat is great for pulling crankbaits. It's great for bottom mounts, and it's not so great for fishing over the top of brush piles. So we use the sea arcs more so for... And they have big bait tanks on them, so we can keep our bait alive.
Right.
So when you're crappie fishing, a lot of times then you're using minnows then? Dropping straight down?
Only in the summertime. Right now, you don't want to try to put a piece of plastic in front of a fish that's been eating unlimited supply of shad.
Oh,
boy. You're not gonna.
They're not that interested.
No, it's got to have a little taste there. There's got to be a little flavor there, and it happens every summer where I have to keep the bait tank running, and we have to go. When was it? What month was it? Mark, do you remember when?
Started getting shiners.
Yeah,
it's probably mid-June.
Yeah, about mid-June. It was like a switch went off where. They just stop hitting plastic, and we could still catch them as guides, but we're used to watching the line. If the line went slack or if it started to move just a little bit, but in order for our customers to catch them, we really need them to hold on to that bait a little bit longer. So that's why we have to use bait.
Using slip bobbers, or what kind of technique are you using?
We just use a 16th-ounce jig head. Chin hook the shiner, and just a medium sized shiner, and we drop it straight down in the brush pile. We try to start on the top of the brush pile, so we don't start come out of the gate with everybody being hung up and right. having to retie, you know, four hooks or six hooks and let people slowly start easing people down into the pile if the fish aren't shooting up out of their eating, get it, figure out where they're at. If they're tucked into the pile, you just slowly coach each person on how to work it up through the brush, and you always have that one or two guys on the boat that get it figured out that just smoke everybody else.
Yeah.
And but everybody's going to catch fish, whether it be kids or somebody that's never fished with a shiner. You're still going to catch them. Wintertime, springtime, post-spawn fish, those fish are thumping. You can drop a piece of plastic down on top of brush pile and they're gonna feel the thump. If they can't, their hands numb or something. Yeah. Yeah.
So the can of worms has been open. Live scope has been mentioned. So Damon, we're going back to you. Yeah, so right. You are the expert, I guess, in this group on that.
I'm far from an expert, but I like it. I'm kind of I'm hooked.
So the people that come here, if they want to see how that works, because if they don't have one in their boat, there's probably one of the few people in America maybe that, like for crappie fishermen that don't have one, seems like they're all getting it. So if they don't have it, tell us, you get them in the boat and you get over brush pile, and is that where you start showing them with a fish coming up? And
yeah, usually, you know, here at the lodge, we've got a pretty good grasp of, or like now, for example, any structure that's there, it's got fish on it, you know, and I mean, being able to take people out, and we get a lot of people that have it. Well, when was that, Chris? Last Friday, there's an individual came in and he had it and just wasn't comfortable. You know, he had a full-time job. He got down here, you know, pretty sparsely and just wanted to learn it to enjoy the boat and to be able to catch fish.
Yeah, I think he spent 2 days just frustrated, not knowing what he was looking at, what he was doing. Damon hopped on the boat with him and got him up to snuff real quick.
But, you know, being able to live scope, and you guys know just as well that a lot of people use an independent pole and a lot of people keep it on the trolling motor, whereas, you know, through crappie masters and things like that, they're flipping jigs to individual fish and phenomenal capability to do that. But getting them on structure that's holding fish, and you know, you start simple transducers on this side, this use braid, it looks like a cable going down, you know, size up the jig. Then by the end of the day, they're able to say, you know, you ask them, well, that fish, what's that fish? Is that a crappie? Is that a white bass? Just by mannerisms, just by, which are going to vary body of water, obviously, or food source. But, you know, oh, look at that catfish go through, you know. And, I mean, things like that. And by then, you see that smile on their face, and they're able to, you know, usually 9 times out of 10, they're calling into work if you take them on a Sunday because they're going fishing on Monday because they got to figure it out, you know. And it's good to see, you know, and with that technology, I don't know what's going to come out next, but
how far can it go?
I don't care if it costs $20,000. I'm going to buy it, I'm sure.
So what's one tip you could give them if they have a live scope unit?
For a beginner, I would say size up your jig just so you can see it.
Right.
Just, you know, and then with YouTube anymore or just calling somebody, you see a lot of people, the factory settings on the screen, that's obviously not right, you know, with the gain and the depth. And, you know, I'm one of those guys, if I'm fishing 20 foot of water, the depth range, I'll have it 22 just to suck that in. I don't go any less than 68, no more than 72 on my gain. It's just something I don't need to touch. Color's a preference thing. I like to, what is it, Brad? It's the midnight blue, I think.
Yeah, midnight blue.
Some reason, every boat I've been in, everybody's different. You know, but it seems to work the best for me. But just getting them in there, once they realize, okay, what they're doing in regards with the jig, whatever they're fishing, minnow, you know, that particular individual on Friday fished with minnows, and I told him, you know, the 16th ounce jig head, that's good. You know, you'll be able to see it, but put quarter-ounce egg sinker to a swivel, you'll be able to see it a lot better. And once he kind of got the grasp on that, it was phenomenal. You know, I mean, the technology, if it's on the boat, definitely, if you can, you know, obviously nobody's going to come out the gate and master it immediately. It's just, as with anything, guiding, fishing in general, just time on the water, you know, and you put those hours in and it's going to pay off, you know.
One thing with live scope that I would say that having three boats on the water versus depending on just your electronics, you need your electronics, but you can go up to a brush pile and see that there's 1,000 fish on that brush pile. But when you have three boats that are going in and day out, you know, multiple guides that are going day in and day out, you know that there's only going to be 2 to 5 fish caught per pile. Right. If you get caught up watching that screen, you can waste a lot of time because you know every one of us is going out and we're only pulling 2-3 fish per pile. Well, you got to fish a pace at which you're going to be able to produce a couple limits of fish. So you got to move. You got to move. And that's where I think LiveScope slows a lot of people down because they get mesmerized by the screen watching it. Not that it's not a great
fish.
Yep. Not that it's not a great cool tool to give you confidence that there's fish there and your customers' confidence that there's fish there. But it can slow you down because last summer I had my guides when I started running Keith's boat with LiveScope on it, that Phoenix, he's like, get it set up for me, get it dialed in. I started running LiveScope. We were vertical jig fishing for walleye, and I mean, I was producing limits every day with my boat, and I started running his boat, and my other guides were bringing in more fish than me, and I'm like, what has changed other than I've got LiveScope? Well, what happened is I started spending an hour on a spot where I would have normally spent 15 minutes and known we got the active fish off of there and went on.
Right.
And that's the biggest tip I can give a LiveScope that I've seen.
That's a good one.
I love electronics.
I know you electronics. Do. Yeah. I like fish. I like lots of fish.
So do I. Swimming That's why grease. I like electronics.
Yeah. Swimming in grease.
Yeah.
So tell us if they want to go fishing with you know, your great group of guides that you have here, where would they go? Who are they going to contact?
You can contact me directly at 417-839-2762. My voicemail box is full most of the time, so feel free to shoot me a text message. The best avenue, if you guys are on social media, which most people are, Facebook is what we're most active on. Send us a message on Facebook.
That's to Tandem Fly Outfitters.
Tandem Fly Outfitters Facebook page. You can also send us an email at tandemflyoutfitters@gmail.com. And you can do that through the website, too, tandemflyoutfitters.com. A lot of different ways to reach us. But we do keep up with the Facebook page daily. Instagram is more like weekly. But
And real quick, tell us the overview of the setup you have here of the being an outfitters.
Okay, so basic layout of what we've got going on. It's two to four day packages. When you guys come in, you don't have to worry about bringing anything. We provide lodging, food, guide, all equipment. We cook 3 meals a day. We usually take sandwiches out on the boat and eat our lunch on the boat, but we eat a hearty breakfast and even better dinner at night. So whenever you guys come, literally all you have to bring is hat, sunglasses, fishing clothes, appropriate clothing, rain gear, and that's all you have to worry about. We take care of everything else. Lodge is real close to town. We're 4 to 5 miles from town, so if you forget something, you can run into Woods Supermarket or Dollar General and get anything that you may have forgot.
All right, there you have it. Thanks, guys, for being on the show.
You bet.
Man, what a great place to come and stay.
Oh,
it's one of those things where you can come, stay, have a good time. And everything's here, and you got some great guides. You're, could I say, guaranteed to catch a fish. You're gonna catch as many fish.
You're gonna catch fish.
Yeah, as many fish as you're going to catch, these guys are going to put you on those fish. So thanks again for being on here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, it's time for Tackle Time. Today's Tackle Time, we feature the Pico Pointer Shed. Brad and I are up here on Stockton Lake, and I'm telling you what, there are more little bitty shad in this lake than you can shake a stick at. And I mean, it don't matter whether it's a 6-foot stick or a 14-foot stick, this thing is full of shad. Well, today's Tackle Time, we're going to feature the Pico Pointer Shed. This is about as match the hatch as you can get. And the color that's working for us today, we dropped down this peppered pearl color, which is kind of a translucent, shiny type of, oh, it just looks just like those shad. These fish, all they have to do up here right now is open their mouth and swallow shad. They don't even have to go look for them. So the closer you get to what that shad looks like, the better it works. And this is the best thing we've come up with. And, man, we're catching lots of little crappie and walleye and bass and just everything swims on it. We've caught drum. Bluegill on it. We've caught drum on it. I mean, everything in this lake right now is feeding on these little old shad and this little Pico Pointer shad in peppered pearl. We've also got a ghost shad. I ran out of peppered pearl today.
Oh.
And I dug and I dug and I dug and I found some ghost shad. It still looks just like those little bitty shad. It's got a little more shine to it. Worked just fine.
Look at that. What a great show we had. Once again, we're at the Tandem Fly Outfitters, which is up here at Lake Stockton. And we were with Chris Nelson. He's the main guide. He's the owner. But we also had Damon and Mark on. And I'm telling you what, I have fished with both of them. Both of them are really, these are top-notch guides. Like, I mean, we have guides down on the lake where I guide, and these guys could fit right in there.
They know how to get it done.
Yeah, they are very good guides. They're very knowledgeable, and they're really, really good with people. So, you know, make sure you check them out and go to Tandem Fly Outfitters, and, man, they're going to set you up. Anyway, what can I say? Thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. Please subscribe, rate our show.
Hey, tell us what you want to hear about.
Hey, for Mitch and myself, keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water.